Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everyone. Glad you could join us. We've got everybody in the house tonight, this morning. Whatever time it is, it's dark. That's all I know.
Yeah?
Yeah. Don?
It should be.
Yeah. Don?
Should be light.
You're here. Yeah, you're talking. He's here. He's not going to answer me. Ava?
I'm here.
What do we do with him?
I don't know.
He's nothing but problems when he's in the studio.
Yeah, well,
when he's not in the studio, we're good.
Yeah, we just cruise.
What?
Is that why I'm here?
He's breaking up.
I
can't understand a word he's saying.
Yeah, that's right.
More. We are going to have a good show tonight. We're going to be talking about, or this morning, whatever. I can't tell what time it is. DNR stresses safety after some dangerous things going on in the water. That, and maybe an opportunity for you to elk hunt in Minnesota. Those stories coming right up. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Here's your chance to fish with us, the Valley Outdoors, and it's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away four trips that include lodging at Ashkenam Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes. Join me, Eric Olson, and Don Cleaver on this fabulous week of fishing this September 2nd through the 9th. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us. Plus, a walleye seminar or two and contest prizes throughout the week. Just register today at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Trip sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio, Ashkenam Resort, Shimano Rods and Reels, Suffolk Fishing Line, and Rapala. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on July 31st on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Hey, everybody.
Say, you just heard the promo for our fishing trip. And we want to remind folks to make sure you go online to thevalleyoutdoors.com and get registered to go fishing with us.
Because it is free
to
register. And it would be a free trip if your name is drawn.
You're going to have a great time. I'll guarantee you that.
Absolutely, without question. And who doesn't want something for free?
Right.
So free is always
you get a chance to fish with us, so there's your chance.
You can't win if you don't play.
Go That's online nice. And register.
Register for a free fishing trip, Ashkenam Resort.
That's on the Ash River.
The only downside is you have to put up with us.
Right.
But hey, everybody's got to have a little sacrifice for something free.
That's right. It's a whole week trip, so.
It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
You going to show me how to fish, Don?
Well, yeah, I will.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I want to learn something.
If I can get you.
We will have the 22 Vexus up there with the 400. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, where'd you go?
Where did you go?
It's going to be
You're going to give me waypoints in my locator where you're heading, so I'll see you
when I
get there. Yeah.
Guarantee you I'll give you waypoints where I'm going. Oh, how come he's not here? Oh, I'm going to kill him when I find him. Boy, we're hitting him, Don. I couldn't believe it. Where were you?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, everybody's a liar. Fisherman's story. Everybody's a liar except you and me, and sometimes I wonder about you.
Yeah, right.
Don, you know, this last week went out fishing and didn't get off work until late, and I headed out in the lake. We do a middle-of-the-week kind of fun league thing in Red Wing, and I thought, you know, I'm going to head out and do a couple different things. So if anybody's familiar with the bug hatch, if you're in Red Wing, you already know what a bug hatch is, and it's a dreaded thing. The mayflies are everywhere, and the fish like them too, and they just literally gorge themselves on the larva as they're rising up out of the bottom of the lake. Well, you'll find that makes a bite relatively difficult. And so I just said, you know what, we'll try this. And oftentimes, if you're dealing with a Phelps floater and a crawler, it is a good imitation of that larvae that's coming up. And I've done really well with that. I marked fish like you wouldn't believe, couldn't get them to go. So
You switch plans. You make a couple passes. You're not getting, you know, much of anything. Move on. And I did. I tried, but I did try jigging wraps as well and didn't reaction strike. I said, all right, we're going across the other side of the river. Started throwing a ripping wrap. I got a striper and then nothing. You know what? Maybe they want it small, like the larva or a leech or something like that. And as soon as I threw the little hair jig out, my old trusty hair jig, we had definitely had some fun. Smallmouth, we had walleye, I had, I mean, you just name it. One of those things, sheephead too. But it really allowed me to say, you know what, you really have to dial in, but don't be afraid to switch. Mm-hmm. A crankbait's not working, it's a fast retrieve. Slow it down. Get it close to shore. That was key. The fish were tight to shore and feeding on various bugs, I suspect, as well. So I think the big thing here is we can get lazy as fishermen, and oh, they're just not biting. They'll hit eventually if I get if I hit the right pot of fish. Whereas switch up, have four or five rods in the boat that you could simply clip on a different bait, or tie a jig on, change the jig, or add a crawler to it, and night and day differences can happen. So I think people don't get lazy. Be willing to change. Have one tied up with a jig. Have another one tied up with a crankbait snap so you can switch quickly. And another one set with live bait. And I'll be honest with you, slow death is one of my easiest go-to search type presentations. You go about 1-1-1-2, put a little Mac blade spinner on the front of it, little orange and black or chartreuse or purple, and you're able to move relatively quickly and find out if those fish are going to bite instead of live bait rigging at 0.6 miles an hour. So I think...
So change up.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to do it.
Different quickly. Types of presentations.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Important coming into the big weekend we're dealing with right now. The DNR stresses safety after a deadly few weeks on the water. It's been a deadly start to the open water season. As of June 16th, as many as 9 people have been victims of boating fatalities. The numbers are preliminary, and it marks the most fatalities at this point of the year in more than a decade. So a lot of people getting out and recreating, but not as safely as we'd hope. In addition to the higher than average number of people have drowned at places like beaches and swimming pools, officials with the DNR are reminding everyone who's around the water to make sure their safety is first priority. Busy time of year, of course, and it's busier than usual, obviously with a lot of people out boating. Above average temperatures, everybody likes to get into the water, and unfortunately it also has an unusually high number of people who don't make it off the water. Number one, wear a life jacket. All children and adults should wear a life jacket anytime they're around the water. Even adults who are good swimmers go under the water and never resurface. Avoid alcohol. Its effects are magnified on the water and consequences can be deadly. About 40% of boating fatalities include alcohol. Designate a water watcher. The person puts down their cell phone or other distractions and focus on what they're watching and on the water. Make sure everyone's safe. So important elements when you're dealing with the upcoming 4th of July season, and you just got to make sure.
And if you're driving the boat, wear your lander.
Yeah, and don't drink and drive your boat. Yeah, safety lander. Yep. Hey, stay tuned. We're going to be right back with some more Valley Outdoors and some cool stories. So stay tuned. Welcome back. And as always, I'd like to encourage you guys to check us out. Facebook, and where at, Donald?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And super fun and super plastic, brand new bubble plastic website.
Yes, and it's going to improve as we go.
And it's awesome.
Yep.
Fantastic. Love it. Ava, you've been there. You've seen it.
I've been there. It looks great.
It's awesome. Pretty exciting. Pretty cool. Speaking of pretty cool, I always find, you know, when you're able to have an opportunity that you wouldn't normally have, it's kind of a cool draw. I mean, I think we talked a couple weeks ago, even when Don was off gallivanting somewhere, they had the buffalo shoot, and there was like 45 openings, and there was like 10,000 people that wanted to go, you know. So follows the same thing, Don.
Okay.
opportunity to hunt elk in Minnesota. Interested hunters can apply for elk licenses offered this year from the DNR. It runs from late August to mid-October. This year's similar to last year, which provided hunters an opportunity to harvest antlerless elk. Hunters can choose from three license options: a license for bull elk, license for antlerless elk, which can be female or young male, or a license for either a bull or antlerless elk. Kind of cool.
Okay, how many are they doing?
Let's read on.
Okay.
Jumping. Yeah, Ava,
he's so
would
impatient.
You have a word with him?
Yeah, I can. After the show, Don, stick around, would you?
All right.
Wow.
I would have been an awesome teacher.
No, here's the
just
best part.
Saying.
You know what I should say is, Don, were you not listening?
Yeah.
Because I did say.
No, you said how many were there for the bison.
No, there's 30 elk. I said it.
Oh,
when
30.
Just
you know, in the past, there's only been like four.
I know.
Your odds are pretty
they
slim.
They have 126 elk in the state's elk range in Kitson, Marshall, and Beltrami counties. And in another herd, there was 24 and 102, respectfully. And in another era, there's also a different group in that they last checked in 2018. So pretty cool deal. Important that hunters review elk season structure on the DNR website prior to entering. It is a lottery, and five licenses are reserved for applicants who have unsuccessfully applied for at least 10 years, and five licenses reserved to meet landowner requirements. So, kind of cool. I like it. Kind of a nice little tidbit. We are always, Don, you and I are pheasant hunters. Ava's a pheasant
yes.
hunter.
Yep.
A lot of pheasant hunters in and around the Midwest.
Yep.
Numbers coming in from North Dakota are good. Unfortunately, drought is the wild card. Out of Bismarck, North Dakota, wildlife officials say the North Dakota spring pheasant population estimate is up 3%. Not a lot, but nonetheless, it's up. But they are very concerned that the extended drought could cut into prospects this fall. The statewide number might be a bit misleading, since they're notably down in the Southwest, while most of the state benefited from good reproduction in 2020 in a mild winter, said the upland game management biologist with the State Game and Fish Department. Pheasant crowing counts are conducted each spring throughout North Dakota. Observers drive a specified 20-mile route, stop at predetermined levels, and count the number of pheasant roosters they heard crowing over a two-minute period. I still think that is the most archaic thing ever.
Yeah,
and the other remember in one area they said we'd use the mail carriers to do it?
Right. That's what I'm saying, is you could be easily off on your count by 3%. It could be 20% up, for all you know, or the opposite.
The number of roosters detected this spring was up in the northwest, southeast, and northeast regions. The southwest area, which is generally considered the state's main pheasant hunting region, was recorded at 18.4 crows per stop, down from 19.6 in 2020. Drought is causing the delayed growth and nesting cover, brood rearing cover, and croplands across the state, according to the biologist. Extended drought could prevent insect hatches, reducing food to the available chicks. It took the state about 3 years to recover from the last drought in 2017. We're hopeful the latest rains will foster insect production and bolster pheasant and chick foraging.
Yep. Dew is so important for moisture for those birds.
Rain in general to get that,
yep.
get the grasses
you gotta
back.
Have the, well, you got to have the humidity.
And if you've looked at the grass lately in the general area, it's been kind of a little spooky, to be honest.
Right.
So, tell you what, we're going to be back. Take a little break, and we'll have some more fun stuff. We're going to talk about hot weather pike and really what happens and what to look for and how to find them. Be right back. Here's your chance to fish with us, the Valley Outdoors, and it's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away four trips that include lodging at Ashkenam Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes.
Join me, Eric Olson, and Don Cleaver on this fabulous week of fishing this September 2nd through the 9th. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us. Plus, a walleye seminar or two and contest prizes throughout the week. Just register today at TheValleyOutdoors.com. Trip sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio, Ashkenham Resort, Shimano Rods and Reels, Suffolk Fishing Line, and Rapala. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on July 31st on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Don?
Yes?
Our off-air entertainment is as much fun as on.
Yeah, well, we got to make sure we have a clue what we're talking about sometimes.
Yeah, we're pretty good at the rabbit trails.
Right.
You know.
We kind of veer off.
Talk about one thing and then you take a way different direction.
Follow the Olympic Road?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about hot weather pike, right?
Yeah. Yes,
we are. And so I just made the comment, you know, that's the one fish that's got so many nicknames.
And then we spent an extended period of time talking about where names came from. So, Ava?
Well, how nicknames came from.
Sure. But we're talking about fish here. So.
Okay. Yeah. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, that was our rabbit trail.
That was not good. That was not good. Anyway, so we talked a little bit about the other day. We talked about we were pike fishing. And it was just crazy cool, fun, the whole nine yards. We didn't really get into some of the details about kind of different things that you can look for and effective elements that you're looking for. But one of the important elements here was we went out and it was hot. It was a hot day. It'd been hot for a week and we had water that was coming into this area. I was fishing. The temperature had about a degree and a half to 2 degrees difference. Those pike were in and they were everywhere.
Yeah. Based on water temperature.
The next week we had that front that came in and cooled the water down.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's no gradient. There was no difference in the water from the lake.
From the stream.
To the stream coming into that area.
Right.
Gone.
Mm-hmm.
One fish instead of like 18. Crazy.
Where did they go?
They wandered off to the next break. They wandered out to other cover. They're going to go look for possibly warmer, so they may go shallower, but we can't, at certain points, 2 to 3 feet of water, you're not going to be able to go deeper than that or shallower than that. So the second part that came into play, and we've talked with the guys from Hummingbird for quite some time, the 360 was absolutely the most incredible thing I'd ever encountered in my life.
Really?
You could pinpoint the fish and say the fish is at
11 o'clock.
90 degree. And there's three of them sitting there at exactly 75 feet out. You short cast it. If they're close to the boat, you bomb a cast out every time. If you didn't get in the first cast, you definitely get them on the second cast. That was after it warmed back up, had the temperature gradient, and those fish were there. So you could use that to really save you time, but locate and cast to those fish instead of basically fan casting an area.
Right.
And that's the other thing that comes to play. If you don't have that technology, if you have sight imaging, sure, that works. But if you don't have the technology and you're looking at casting maybe a weed area or whatever the case is, anytime you're casting, you need to make sure you mark where you're casting, because so many people just say, oh, I'm going to bomb over here. I'm going to make another cast here. Well, you can only beat the water so much before there's nothing there. Or if you get one, then just move it a hair or you stay right on that same spot. So it holds true. You really need to focus on the spot, why they're there, are there fish still there, and when they are, making sure that you can target them either through using electronics or making sure that you work the area to find where those fish are. Because all too often, people do not pay attention to the detail. Whether it's if you're fishing in that shallow water, you're using a spoon, have somebody else use a swim bait or have somebody else use a spinner bait. Change up the bait to find out what's making them active. And spoons in shallow water is deadly. I will say that hands down. And it's really amazing.
The one thing that I found, you know, and I'm typically fishing in a in a northern lake or Canada where the water maybe is clearer, you don't have to necessarily drop that lure right on the fish, because a northern pike will come from
quite a
distance. If they can
feel that
you know, vibration in the water, or see it, or flash, and that's a lot of fun when you can see the pike, and they're like a missile coming for that. And
I think it's one of those things. It's an important element, and I think really providing a little bit more insight to what the success was important, and it was just a blast. It was really one of those memorable nights when your arm is sore from pulling in fish.
And it's what a good problem to have.
Not a joke. It was amazing.
Yeah. No, that's
they tear you up.
And it sounded like you had some pretty good success with some decent sized fish. Like I said, to me, a 32 to 36 inch northern pike fights as hard as any fish in the water.
Oh yeah. We had a couple that were 38, and they're nice photo fish. It looks good. So, all right. So there's a little bit of information that we have for you.
That's good to know on hot weather, you know, during hot weather. You can still catch them.
Got another story that I thought was worth discussing. Together Outdoors Coalition forms to promote recreational growth. Recent history has shown that one has been very clear. People that are getting outside enjoying some form of recreation, whether it means camping, fishing, hunting, biking, or riding ATVs, think of any outdoor activity, and it's a safe bet most people are enjoying it more than ever. I mean, we'd all seen it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it doesn't matter what the usage is. The Outdoor Recreation Roundtable, they're working to promote the growth of the outdoor recreational economy and outdoor recreation activities, and leading recreation coalition with 33 member associations serving over 110,000 businesses. And a major part of the ORR, Together Outdoors Coalition, is established to support the industries, of course, raising awareness of equity and inclusion, including issues of outdoor experiences, providing education awareness to help eliminate existing barriers. And what it means is they're going to provide training, resources, grants across the entire outdoor spectrum. So it's kind of cool. Get people in the outdoors that have not been. So one of the things that I found interesting is another story. I think we'll save that for next week. But the Minnesota DNR put the names out there of the advisories. There's an agency, a reinvestment plan.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of a cool deal. Same concept. They're trying to bring people to the outdoors. And a comment that they had when I was reading the article was that the outdoors participation had been steadily declining in the last 10 years.
Right.
Until the pandemic.
Until COVID, yeah.
Interesting how you tell people they got to be inside and then they're going to rebel and say, no, I'm not. I'm done. Let's go find something to do because I'm tired of being inside cooped up. So definitely something that's, I would say, needed. We'll see how it pans out. This support is also to help manufacturers, retailers, service providers, stakeholders, and individuals, whether they be CEO or a parts counter employee, to support equity inclusion in all forms of outdoor recreation. And after all, the great outdoors belongs to everybody. And the ORR, they have partnered with Thor Industries, one of the largest manufacturers of recreational vehicles. So you've seen a boon in the RV world right now that's literally off the charts. And something that I find, it's not really necessarily, it's not camping. It's kind of a glamping.
Oh, sure.
Would that be right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah. Glamorous camping,
right.
Glamping.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's getting somebody involved at that point, an ATV, a boat, truck camping, whatever it might be, I think being able to lever that, I think, is a big step in the right direction. I think understanding the right ways to use the outdoors, I think, is also important. And these guys are also supporting growth within the archery side. So getting people involved in bow hunting, which is great. I think that's it's an awesome silent sport and very challenging without question, but it can be done all year long since you're going to be shooting and practicing and honing your skills. So I think that's a big thing. And one of the things they said about the bow hunting, and it connects people to the outdoors and their table in a very personal and intimate way. And he said of the Archery Trade Association, CEO, anyone should be able to experience a profound opportunity without limitation, recognize, support, and are committed to the work as necessary to ensure everyone feels welcome and safe, whether entering the woods or a shop. So kind of a cool concept. I think we'll want to watch what direction that takes, mm-hmm. because sometimes it can get skewed. We don't want to have that happen. But no. We'll keep our eye on the pulse of what's happening there. And, yeah, I think we're gonna table the conversation about the Minnesota DNR. They got an advisory council that on reinvesting in Minnesota. Just a real quick hit for us before we break out of here. Wisconsin turkey harvest, the hunt, hits over a 20-year low. They recently revealed data that said that they saw the lowest harvest in two decades for the most recent turkey hunting season. According to some officials, they believe it's known to the lockdown orders in the state being lifted, which gave more people options with how to spend their time. So they weren't focused on turkey hunting. They're like, I'm going to do something else as well. And last spring, we were at the height of the safer at home order. Many more people were available to hunt, and there wasn't much else to do from the previous year. So this year it was low compared to the 2020. And yeah, so we'll keep our eye on that one as well, because obviously the hunting side of it, you want to see decrease in take. You want to see start increases, small increases. So, well, thank you guys for joining us. And we are going to have a good show next week. We're going to have the Red Wing state champion trap club. They'll be here, trap team, and it'll be fun. So more of Valley Outdoors next week. See ya.